to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Michelle Leslie.
And I'm Amy Spreeman. Welcome to part two of Glad You Asked. You know, last week in part one, I selected a few listener questions for us to answer. And this week, Michelle, it is your turn.
That's right, Amy. We've gotten some great questions from our listeners, and we're going to answer a few of those tonight. And we're going to do more of these Glad You Asked episodes in the future. So keep sending us those questions. You can go to our website, awordfitlyspoken.life, and click on the contact tab, or you can comment or send us a private message on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Amy, what's our first question?
Yeah, let's get right to it. Our first question is kind of a combination of a couple of questions that listeners have asked us to follow up on to our episode, How to Talk to Your Church Leaders About False Doctrine. And you can find that episode on our website. But they want to know, the first question is, what should I do if I talk to my church leaders about the false doctrine or false teachers that they're allowing into the church and they rebuff or rebuke me? Should I leave the church? And so this is a two-parter. Second question is, if I do end up leaving my church for doctrinal reasons, what should I say to friends from the church who want to know why I'm leaving? And is that gossiping to tell them why? Great questions.
Absolutely. Let's tackle that first question first. And I just want to say, I'm sorry if we didn't address this on that episode, but let's go ahead and tackle it now. What should I do if I talk to those church leaders about the false doctrine or the false teachers that they're allowing and I don't get the answer I'm looking for? They tell me to just, you know, it's no big deal, or they even criticize me for, you know, telling them these things. Should I leave the church? It's possible that you should leave the church. I wouldn't just rush out the door right away, especially if you don't know what your options are for other churches to go to, because you don't just leave a church. You go to another church, because God doesn't want us forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, the Hebrews 10:25 tells us. So, I would take it slowly and patiently. I would spend some time in prayer about it. Certainly, if you're married, you and your husband need to be on the same page about this. And really, it is your husband's final decision. You should definitely talk about it together, pray about it together, and try to reach a mutual decision about whether or not you should leave. And I say whether or not you should leave because in some areas, there just aren't very many churches at all. And if this is a fairly minor issue of false doctrine or false teachers, I know, you know, we don't ever want to say false doctrine is minor or false teachers are minor, but, there can be shades of and degrees of false teaching and false doctrine. So if it's a fairly minor issue and your church is otherwise doctrinally sound and it's the most doctrinally sound church in your area within reasonable driving distance of your home, you may not want to leave that church. It may be the best option available to you, and you may need to just stay and pray about it and just be a good influence and just make the best of what's not the best situation. So I would say to really take some time to exercise some wisdom, to pray about whether or not you should leave, and to, if you are going to leave, you need to be sure you've got a good church to go to. Now, the second question was, if I do end up leaving that church, what should I say to the friends from the church that I'm leaving who want to know why I'm leaving? And is it gossiping to tell them why? It is not gossiping to tell them why you're leaving if you are giving them an honest answer, a biblical answer, a doctrinally sound answer, and you're not making personal criticisms of the pastor, or you're not slandering anybody or anything like that, but just a simple answer of, we have seen some false doctrine in the church. I'll be glad to explain it to you if you want me to, but that's why we're leaving. And you can keep it short like that, and some people will just not ask you to go into detail about it, which is fine, but some people will want to know because they will want to make sure that you know, they're not believing false doctrine either. And so your explanation to that person of why you're leaving the church, certainly backed up with scripture and being kind and being gentle about it, that can open the eyes of someone else in your church that needs to get out of that church as well. So no, that is not gossiping, and it is perfectly fine to, my rule of thumb would be, don't go to people who haven't asked why you're leaving and give yes. explanations to them.
Yeah.
But if someone comes to you and wants to know and asks, then it's perfectly okay to honestly, briefly, and biblically explain to that person why you're leaving. Would you have anything to add to that, Amy?
Yeah, I have an example of something that happened. But first, I want to back up to that that first question. Was, you know, what should I do if I, if I talk to my church leaders and they rebuke me, they shut me down? I want to just say that that's a very common thing, and I would encourage you to not take that personally, and keep in mind that it matters how you approach them. We've talked about yes. this before, and I found that the majority of the time, Michelle, church leaders often feel blindsided by the news that someone that they maybe trust in leadership perhaps isn't trustworthy after all. That can come as a shock. And by the way, it can also be very humiliating for that leader to hear from a lay person who maybe appears more knowledgeable or discerning. Even if a leader isn't prideful, that can kind of be a blow. So you want to kind of take that into consideration and just approach those leaders with the kindness and respect that we all deserve, that dignity, and just very, gently lay out why you're concerned. It's nothing personal, but this is what you're concerned about. If you do leave a church for doctrinal reasons, I think the first people you should tell is the leadership. You don't just leave without saying something, especially if it's right. for doctrinal reasons. Obviously, if you're moving or that kind of thing, that's different. But you're going to want to express how much you've appreciated their ministry while you've been there, but that there are certain things that have come up that have made it very clear that you and if you're married, your husband, you just can't stay. And then tell them kindly what those things are. Michelle, I agree with you. You can do this in a phone call, in an email, in person. You can write it out. But as far as sharing with your friends, do be very careful that you're not gossiping. I agree with you, Michelle. That is sinful. And if they're close friends, they're going to ask why you're not there. So be prepared with how much you're willing to share in that moment. Now, that's what I would just say. And then that personal example I have, a number of years ago, I was working at a church I was in leadership in a large mega church, and a couple had a very serious issue with teaching something that was just downright blasphemous. It really was. And they this couple had met with the pastor, but they were rebuffed, didn't get it resolved to their satisfaction, so they left. And they wrote a very nice letter explaining why, and it was written. But they didn't share it with friends or acquaintances at all, just the leadership team. And then they left quietly, and they didn't mind that other people might gossip about them. And sure enough, that's what happened. But they were classy about it, that that was fine with them. And if anybody approached them and asked them, they gave a nice answer. Well, we don't agree with this certain teaching, and here's what the Bible has to say. And that was it. They didn't blast the teachers or anything. So again, I think that's a very classy way to do it. I think it takes the higher ground, and I think it's a godly way to help people understand.
That's right. I mean, if you're going to leave your church, you don't want to compound what's going on with the false doctrine there by making a scene and being ugly about it. I mean, that kind of, you lose your credibility in people's eyes, to explain the doctrinal problems at the church. Yeah. If you're not exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit and being kind and gracious as much as you can, and being Christ-like. So I totally agree.
I agree as well. Are you ready for the next question?
Ready.
Okay. This one comes from a listener who had a question after our episode titled Social Justice is a Liar. So the question is, how are we as Christians supposed to differentiate the true sin of oppression, for example, the Egyptians against the Israelites in Moses' time, as well as, U.S. slavery here, with the false cry of oppression from proponents of the social justice movement? Great question. We talked about the social justice movement at length a couple weeks ago.
We did. That is a very good question. I'm not really sure if the reader is asking like on a case-by-case basis, you know, with an individual that she knows, or if she's just asking if we are supposed to make a pronouncement, a blanket pronouncement about these, you know, groups of people and these group sins. So I'm not real sure about that, but I would just say if it's the latter, we don't really need to make a pronouncement about, oh, this is oppression and this is not oppression. We don't really need to worry about that. I would worry about, or not worry, but I would really more concern myself with individual cases that might come my way in my own personal life. And I really think that's something as far as whether or not someone is actually being oppressed, we do need to remember that people perceive things differently than we do. And somebody can maybe feel like they're being oppressed when we would look at their situation and say, you got to be kidding me, you're not being oppressed by anything. But you know, people's feelings are real to them, and so that's something that we have to work with. They may not be their feelings may be fueled by something that's not accurate, but we still need to understand that people feel the way they feel, and we need to work with that. So I really do feel like that's something that has to be dealt with on a case-by-case basis, comparing everything to scripture. It's not really good to make blanket statements on things like that. So if you're dealing with someone who feels like she's being oppressed by something, I would just talk to that person and kind of come to an understanding and listen to her and come to an understanding of why she feels the way she feels. And then I would bring the gospel into it. If it's someone who's lost, that person's main need is the gospel and to be forgiven for her sins and to trust Christ as Savior, not to escape whatever oppression that she's in. She's being oppressed by sin and she needs to get out of that and be set free from that. And so that is what I would do, is to bring the gospel and scripture into it and just apply that and see what scripture says and see if that's what's going on in that situation. Now we can say that one thing is not oppression. There are some people out in the public square today that say that they are feeling oppressed by Christianity, not by a particular Christian who's being mean to them or something like that, but just the beliefs of Christianity in general are somehow nebulously oppressing them. Now we know that on a spiritual level, that is not true. Christianity does not oppress people. Christianity sets people free, like we just said, from the oppression of sin. What those people are feeling is conviction, not oppression. They're feeling conviction of their sin, and they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear how what's really oppressing them is Satan and his lies and the sin that they are bound to as they're following the father of lies. And they need to hear how they can be set free from that in Christ. And so when we talk about social justice and we talk about the way that the social justice movement is handling these issues of people feeling oppressed, and then we talk about applying the gospel to it on the other side, the way that I guess Amy and I would say that these things need to be handled, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about actually whether or not people are oppressed or how they're feeling or whatever. We're talking about that they need the gospel. This is a spiritual issue first and foremost. This is not an issue of whether or not people need reparations, whether or not people, you know, need to deny their whiteness or whatever. We're talking about there are only two kinds of people in the world: saved people and lost people. And lost people need the gospel. And the gospel is the solution to every problem that is plaguing the planet right now. The gospel is the solution. And that's what we need to bring to bear on these issues. Did you have any thoughts on that, Amy?
Well, that was just so well said that, you know, and I think about how we react to the news of the day. I think about my flesh and how it's so easy to just get whipped up into anger when we see these things happen, especially, you know, and it's so tempting to say, oh, that's just a snowflake talking. Or in my case, I often think to myself, and I hope I never say this, but you know, I will admit right here, I sometimes think, suck it up, buttercup. You know, there have been worse problems in the world. So I think back to the original, the question about what about the Israelites in Egypt who, you know, were oppressed because they truly were, they were in slavery. And you read about their lives and how horrible it was. And I'll tell you the one thing that they did not have that we have today is hope. They did not have any hope at all. They did not have the gospel. So every time a new social justice claim comes up in the news or in the visible church even, the easiest thing to do is to compare the claim to the promises of God. Are we really supposed to be focused on skin color? Are we really supposed to focus on political sound bites, which used to be me, by the way. I used to memorize all of them and I got real into it. But you know, what about those Supreme Court cases? Well, in some cases, yes. We can see what is happening in our world just falls very short of perfection. And we see it and it's getting worse, of course. So we strive not to reclaim America or find a safe space. We were never called to be safe, by the way, Christians. We're not That's supposed right. to figure out our intersectionality or our unique claim to whatever victimhood we think we have a right to. But we have to strive to proclaim Christ. Like you said, Michelle, we ought to give up all thoughts of justice and fairness that we think we're entitled to in this world because it's just not going to happen for us.
That's right, especially for Christians. I mean, look at the way that they treated Jesus. Jesus was falsely accused. Jesus was, his character was impugned. He was accused of doing things when he had not done anything wrong. And they put him to death wrongly, you know, at least from a worldly perspective. They put him to death wrongly for things that he didn't do. And like Jesus said, is a servant greater than his master? You know, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And we should be expecting to be treated just like Jesus as believers. So.
Yeah. And very clearly, like you mentioned, we are, it's already starting and it's starting around the world. I mean, we're not just seeing it here in the United States. We're seeing it in a lot of other countries as well. So
yeah, and I want to add one more thing. As Christians, we do need to suck it up. Okay. Yeah. Because persecution is coming. And if you can't even take being offended by somebody else's tweet on Twitter, how are you going to take it when, you know, your life is at stake for the gospel? Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
We do need to toughen up, suck it up, and be grown-ups in Christ and deal with these things in a godly, biblical way.
Amen, my friend. Okay, one last question of the night, and this one's just for fun. You know, before Michelle and I started A Word Fitly Spoken, we asked for input from our potential listeners or friends what you wanted in a podcast. And almost all of you said something that we felt very strongly about. You were not interested in personal banter or silliness, and neither are we. So in all of our episodes, we've tried to stick very closely to the topic at hand. But there are a few of you out there who wanted to hear the personal stuff so you could get to know us a little better. So, okay, we thought we'd end this Glad You Asked episode with a perfect forum for answering some of those fun get to know your host questions from time to time. And Michelle, I think you found this one on Twitter a few weeks ago. It's one of those things that went around. And so the question starts with, and it's a fill in the blank. If I were only allowed one blank, so you'd fill it in for each topic. Okay, you ready? You want to play?
I'm ready.
Okay. Michelle, if you were only allowed one cuisine, that's it, one, what would it be?
You know, I thought about this earlier. I was going through and just picking out my answers. there's so many different foods that I like. I love Chinese food and Mexican and Italian, and there's just so many great foods out there. But every time I say something like, I love Chinese food, somebody will remind me, yes, but you love Americanized Chinese food. That's not really how they make it in China. And that's true. I have a good friend who spent a while as a missionary in China, and she said, Chinese food in America is nothing like Chinese food in China. So I guess I would have to say American cuisine, because that would include American, Mexican, American, Chinese, whatever. So
oh, good
I
answer.
Guess American, especially Cajun food.
So. Oh, of course, because, you know, I think you're half Cajun, aren't you?
No, but I live in Cajun land.
mine would be, I'm not Italian, talk with my hands, but I'm not Italian, but I love Italian cuisine, especially homemade spaghetti sauce with homemade tomatoes from the garden. Oh my goodness. I could just eat that every night for the rest of my life. I'd be just happy as could be. Of course, neither of us really talked about vegetables, but
who likes vegetables?
No, but it's a game.
No
right?
offense to no offense to the vegetable people out there.
All right, here's the next one. If you were allowed only one author, who would it be?
Oh, I think the one author that I would pick is God, you know, the Bible.
Awesome.
But aside from that, because that's my favorite book, I would, if it was for fiction, I think I would choose John Grisham. I really enjoy his books. And for nonfiction, especially theology, probably John MacArthur.
Awesome.
About you?
I thought about this and I thought, you know, the one answer is Paul. I just love what he's written. And what's really funny is that it's actually kind of sad, but a lot of the progressive Christians are kind of downplaying that, you know, saying, you know, Paul was a chauvinist, he was a misogynist, and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. I like Paul. Mm-hmm. All right, here's the next one.
I do too.
Okay. If you were allowed only one genre of music, what would it be?
This one was easy for me. For me, it would be Southern gospel music. I just love the harmony structures, the parts. I used to sing in a Southern gospel quartet. It's just my favorite genre. What about you?
I'm gonna blow people's minds. Christmas. I love Christmas.
That's not a genre.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I love it. Okay, so I mean, there's some obnoxious Christmas music out there, but I really like the soft instrumental stuff. You know, give me a dulcimer or a microphone. Yeah, or something like that, piano, or maybe the soft tones of a choir, just, you know, crackling fire. I just love that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. All right, here's another one. If I were allowed only one TV show, what would it be?
I think for me, that would be Law and Order SVU. I'm a crime show junkie. I really like to see the justice being done and the bad guys put away. And that usually happens on that show. And I've been watching that show. So it's been on for, I think, 21 years now. And I've been watching it since the beginning. Yeah, it's been on a long time. And one thing that really interests me about that show in particular, which is probably going to sound weird, but it's written by New York liberals. And really? What has been fascinating to me is to watch through the storylines and the way they portray Christians on several of the episodes, how they perceive Christians. Because I was telling my husband this the other night, these writers write Christians like they've never met a Christian in their life. So it's really interesting to see how they perceive us. So
very interesting.
That would be my answer.
Mine would be the original Star Trek. I'm sorry, I'm a Trekkie. I watched it as a kid with my dad in first grade on, you know, I'm dating myself, but we watched it live when it was on and it was amazing. And I still watch the reruns. So
awesome.
It's corny. I know it's corny as can be. And they actually talk about Christianity on there too every once in a while. So
do they really? How interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Here's another one. If I were only allowed one place, where would it be?
I think home. There's no place like home. You know, like Dorothy said in The Wizard of Oz, there's no place like home.
That's Although my answer.
Yeah, I've taken so many trips, and no matter how wonderful the trip has been, there has been some point on every trip when I've thought, I really wish I were at home right now.
Me too.
But I would really like to visit the Holy Land one day and just
let's go together. Hey, we could do a word fitly spoken trip to Israel.
Oh, that would be fun. Okay, listeners, start sending us money so we can afford to go, okay?
Just kidding. All right, if I were allowed only one season, what would it be?
Oh, fall, definitely.
Yep,
football
me too.
Season.
Football, because it is, leaves changing, you bet.
Yeah. It's drier down here in the fall, and it's cooler down here. You know, it's not unbearably hot, so fall is definitely my favorite.
Yeah, we've already had snowflakes go, and the real ones falling in the fall.
Oh,
here.
Wow.
Yeah. And winter. The drone shots now. Yes, we've got drones now, so they take overhead shots of the fall colors, and it's just gorgeous, so...
Oh, how neat.
Yeah. Okay. If you were only allowed one city, what would it be?
Oh, I think Baton Rouge. That's where I live. And I know where everything is. It's, you know, there's lots of there's lots of traffic. Every town has problems, you know, but it's home and I love it.
I thought about Minneapolis because I spent so much time there, but really I love smaller towns. And the one smaller town is my own hometown too, is Appleton, Wisconsin. So it's a wonderful little city, and it's got all sorts of fun things to do. And I sound like a tour guide now, good grief. But it's nice. It's not perfect, but it's nice. So I like it here.
Right. That sounds great.
Okay. If I were only allowed one game, what would it be?
Well, I don't know if they mean like a prepackaged board game type of thing, but my answer is spades. It's a card game,
ooh,
spades.
Okay.
We used to stay up all night long in college playing spades, and I just really enjoyed that.
Okay, mine is also sort of a card game. It's cribbage. Love.
Oh, okay.
Never learned to play until I met my husband and his family, and they all played. So we've been playing for years, and I just love it when I skunk my husband. So you cribbage players out there know that. We're very competitive over here. So
I'll have to learn how to play that one day.
I'll play it in spades. How about that?
That sounds good.
All right. Two more. If I were only allowed one book of the Bible, what would it be?
I never know how to answer this question. No. All the books are good. I think maybe Hebrews, because there's so much to dig into and to really spend a lot of time on it and getting to understand it. And there's just a lot in there. So if I only had one book, I would really want to make it last a long time. So I guess maybe Hebrews.
Oh, that's awesome. Mine would be, and I guess it would depend on when you ask me, because I just love to be diving in, and there's something wonderful about each and every one. But right now, at this space and time, it's the book of Acts. I just love the adventure and the zeal.
Yes.
As people were willing to just lay down their lives and all for the cause of Christ. And I just love the book of Acts. So that's where I'm at today.
And right. The Bereans are in there.
Oh, yes, they are. Oh, okay, last one. I promise, if you're being tortured right now, you're probably tuned out by now. But okay, if I were only allowed one movie, what would it be?
For me, it would be Gone with the Wind. That's my favorite movie.
All right. And that makes sense for a Southern girl. for me, it would be The Sound of Music.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I love The Sound of Music. It's a good one. Great music in that movie.
Well, you know, it was kind of torture, I think, for both of us to get this, to play this game. But I'm glad we did, you know, and those of you who needed your fix of what Amy and Michelle are all about, well, there you go.
There you go. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we promise never to banter this with this much silliness again.
Well, maybe. We'll see. Maybe. And if I were only allowed one podcast, it would be A Word Fitly Spoken. We've had a great time answering your questions tonight, so be sure to keep them coming. Remember, you can use our contact page at awordfitlyspoken.life, or you can contact us through social media. On Facebook, we're A Word Fitly Spoken Podcast. Our Twitter handle is at AWFS Podcast, and our Instagram is A Word Fitly Spoken. Sometimes there are accounts with similar names, so if you get confused, just look for those apples of gold in a setting of silver. We look forward to hearing from you.
We sure do. And that'll wrap up this episode of A Word Fitly Spoken. Until next time, walk worthy.